Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't know who that guy was, but he did a pretty good job this morning. I'm glad to have Andrew and his family with us today and leading us in worship. And thank you for the way that you have joined in our celebration of praise to God this morning. I want us to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into our lesson. Are we ready? Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you today hungry. And we are ready to receive the bread from your hand that fills us. A bread that is from your hand that is made to fill us where we hunger the deepest. We come to you today poor in our spirits, with outstretched hands ready to receive riches from you. We come as disciples, ready to be shown the way. Open our hearts, open our minds, and help us to see you more clearly today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're in the middle of this series called The Great Awakening. And we're exploring the Old Testament book of Malachi. So if you open your Bible to the beginning of the New Testament in Matthew and turn back one book, you'll find right where we are. We're in chapter 3 of that book, and I want to encourage you to be looking there. We're going to be looking at it together in just a moment. But the whole premise behind this series of lessons is that there are times in our lives whenever we just kind of get sleepy and bored and apathetic in life and sometimes in our faith. And Malachi's message to you and me is that we can experience an awakening and wake up from the spiritual boredom that sometimes we feel in life. Today's sermon is called The Way Back to God, and it's found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12 is our text. And the reason that I'm choosing that as the title of our lesson today is because I think it's an appropriate description of where Israel was when Malachi the prophet spoke from the Lord to them. You see, they had been away in captivity in a foreign nation for a long time. And finally, God led them back home. But as they came back home, they came with great expectation that things would be like they used to be. That they would rebuild the temple and the city walls for protection. And that when everything got just right, then God would bless them with His glorious presence once more inhabiting the temple. But days came and days went, and there was no sign of God's blessing of presence. In fact, there was quite the opposite. Drought, hunger, disease overtook the land. And as people do, when times got hard and when they didn't have much to live on, they began to become rather selfish, hoarding for themselves all of the blessings that God had given them and robbing from the temple by not giving back to God the things that God had blessed them with. You see, when we get scared and we think that somehow God is not with us, we begin to become self-absorbed and protective and think that all the things we have are really just for us and our own consumption. And it's a vicious cycle because the more we keep for ourselves, the more we find ourselves to be even more stricken with poverty, physically and spiritually. And so Malachi is saying, listen, there's a way back to God. There's a way back to experiencing the vibrancy of faith and connection with God that you once knew. But you've got to reprioritize what you've devoted to Him. And that's the pathway back to a relationship with God. This series of lessons, in particular this one, I think is going to speak to many of us in this audience this morning in a very personal and meaningful way. Because let's be honest, there are some of us in this room that maybe feel as if we are as far from God as maybe we've been in a long time. And we know deep down that we need to find our way back, but we don't know what steps to begin to take to find ourselves there. Well, good news. Malachi has a pathway laid out for you and me this morning. The way back to God. How do you feel when you look at old photographs of yourself? You know, around this time of year, whenever family starts gathering for holidays and for get-togethers, one of the things that many of us do is pull out the old photo albums, or maybe the shoebox that's been up in the closet for some time that has all those snapshot photos of years gone by. I don't know how you feel when you look at photographs of yourself from times in the past, but I know for me, it kind of makes me a bit uncomfortable. I mean, the styles I used to wear, the way I used to, you know, dress, and the things I used to do, it's a bit uncomfortable to look back and realize, man, I'm not the person I used to be. Things have changed. In fact, when I look back at some of those photographs, I realize, you know, really, I think I'm a better person today than I used to be back then. But then, sometimes I must admit, when I look at those photographs, I realize that maybe I've regressed. And there are some ways in which today I'm not as good as I used to be. I don't know, when I look back at old photographs, like looking back at this one from several years ago, things have changed a bit. And I'm not the person I used to be. Some things for the better, some things for the worse. But I don't know how you feel when you look back at old photographs, but I think that they can be rather instructive when we look at them. Because sometimes it reminds us that we used to be more devoted in our relationship with God, to our relationships with each other. That we had better priorities and better focus. And something over the course of the last few months, the last few years, maybe the last few decades, has changed us. And we wonder, how did I get here? And is there a way back? A way back to God. Malachi chapter 3, begin at verse 6. The Lord says this through His prophet. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Let me pause there just a moment and make note of the fact that a lot has happened with Jacob, that is Israel, the descendants of Jacob. In the past years when Malachi writes. And there are some things such as God's presence being removed from the temple that might make them think somehow that God has changed the deal for them. That maybe they're no longer God's chosen people. Maybe God doesn't love us like He used to. And God reassures them and says, listen, have no fear. A lot has changed, all right, with you. But me, the Lord, I make you a promise that is never going to change. The Lord doesn't change. And that's the reason why, even though you're not living the way you ought to live, I'm not destroying you. Why? Because I made a promise to your ancestor Jacob that his family would be a blessing to the world. And the Lord doesn't change. He doesn't go back on His promises. Ever since the time of your ancestors, though, you have turned away from My decrees and have not kept them. You see, although the Lord doesn't change, God's people have a pattern sometimes of changing, of moving away from our previous commitments and devotion to Him. We have some rather disturbing patterns as God's people sometimes of turning away. But there's hope. The Lord says to His people, He says to you today, return to Me, and I will return to you. Do you feel right now as if God is a million miles away? Do you feel as if your relationship with Him has grown cold? Are you just not as passionate about God's kingdom like you have been in days gone by? You know the path forward? God says, take some steps to returning back to me, and you'll start to feel the warmth of my presence once more. Because I promise, if you return to me, I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask the question, and it's a good one. Just how am I supposed to do that? How do I return? And then it seems, in answer to that very question, that the Lord is changing the subject, but I assure you He's not. How do we return to the Lord? Here's your answer. Another question. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. How is that an answer? If God says, you want to feel that connection with me, the way back to me is you return to me and I'll return to you. And then the natural question is, well, how do I do that? And then He answers and says, will a mere mortal rob me, and yet you rob me? What does that mean? The way we return to the Lord is to stop robbing Him. What does it mean to rob Him? Let me put it this way. Are there some things in your life that in days gone by, if you flip back in the photo album of your mind, that in years of the past you had devoted to God, that you had said, Lord, I will give you my life. I will devote to you my time, my service, my resources. I will make you a priority in my life. And you promised Him that. But over the course of time, you've started to slowly reclaim the things that you had once devoted to God back to yourself. If so, you're robbing God. The way to return to the Lord, the way back to Him, is to stop reclaiming for yourself things that you had devoted to Him. More on that in just a moment. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In what ways are we robbing you, God? And then Malachi gets real specific. In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now here's what's so interesting about this is that whenever we go through difficult times in life, let's say that we're going through a difficult financial time, and we feel like we don't have enough resources to even hardly get by. And so because we're struggling, we say, God, I know I had devoted to you that I would pledge in my heart to give as I have prospered to you. But Lord, I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through a drought. So I really need that money. So I reclaim that back for myself. And I rob the Lord. Or maybe I said, Lord, You've done so much for me. The least I can do is to devote some of the time of my schedule every week to give to You. And Lord, I promise that when God's people get together, I'm going to make that a priority in my life, to assemble together with other Christians. Or maybe you said, you know, I'm going to devote my time, and I'm going to not just be self-absorbed, but I'm going to devote my time in serving other people. And you made a pledge to do that, and you were doing that. But then life got hectic, and you got busy, and your schedule started filling out, and you didn't have time for things that were important because you were filling it with so many other things. And before long, you start to chip away and reclaim the time that you said you would devote to God back for yourself. You're robbing Him. Now, here's what's ironic, is that makes sense to us. We think, well, I'm going through a time where I don't have anything to spare. I don't have time to spare. I don't have money to spare. I don't have anything to spare. Therefore, I need to take that back. And we think by taking that back that we'll be okay, that our life will be blessed. And God says it's ironic because the more you take back for yourself, the more you're going to experience a curse. You think you're helping yourself, but in the long run, the more you reclaim things that were devoted to me back for yourself, you are going to find a curse coming upon you. In fact, your whole nation, as a gathering of people. Why? Because you're robbing me. And then God says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. God issues a challenge to you and me. And He says, if you will return to me and rededicate things that you once had pledged to me and stop robbing it from me, and you will be sacrificial and you will pledge to give your time, your resources, your energy back to me, see if you don't experience the blessings from heaven and see if the drought doesn't end. See if the storehouses of heaven don't open and the blessings come inexplicably from every direction into your life. God promises you and me that. He says specifically to them, I will prevent pests from destroying your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Doesn't that sound good, to be a part of a delightful land? Wouldn't you love to be able to say, my house is a delightful house. My church is a delightful church. My family is a delightful family. When will those blessings come? Because guess what? The more that you try to rob in order to create the blessing of a home, the more that you rob from God to try to create a blessing and manufacture a blessing in your family, the more we rob from God to try to create blessing here and there, we find ourselves more thirsty, more without, more cursed. But He says, you put me first. You reprioritize your schedule, your budget, your time, and you redevote that to me, then look out, because the delightful blessings are going to come upon you. That's what He says. Now, I don't think this is, not for a moment, don't misunderstand that somehow Malachi is preaching prosperity gospel. Sometimes pledging our life to God means hardship comes. But sometimes the hardship can be a blessing in disguise. It can actually be the blessing we need the most. So the question is, what am I looking for? Am I just looking for blessing in the here and now, or am I looking for God to provide a delightful land, a holistic delight for my ultimate best interest and good as a person? If that's really what you and I are after, we must return to God and stop robbing Him. And pledge once again to give Him what we promised. I got something really kind of disturbing to share with you. If you think about this for a second, the church has a credit card that's tied to our bank account. Now, in this day and time, people can acquire, through nefarious means, they can acquire credit card information and steal your identity. What if I told you someone had stolen the identity and had siphoned off unbelievable amounts of money from the church account, and on the credit card bill there were vacations, there was exorbitant spending, there was all kinds of charges made in lots of different places, sporting events, and extra types of charges at restaurants? How would you feel if you knew someone had stolen money from the church treasury and used it for those means? Now, thankfully, let me tell you, that has not literally happened here. Everybody heard that, right? Nobody heard the first part and then fell asleep. That has not happened. You know, so the elders were getting real nervous. They were sweating. What does Jonathan know that we don't know? Okay, that has not happened. But I want you to feel that now. And think about it. If you are withholding your time, your money, your energy that you said you would devote to God and taking it back for yourself, you are robbing the kingdom of God from the resources that it needs to be able to thrive and do amazing things. It's a real sobering question for you and I to ask ourselves, because Malachi is challenging each one of us to ask ourselves the question, am I robbing God? This is kind of hard to say, but I just need to tell you because it's true. As a church here, the Maryville congregation, over the last several years, we've kind of struggled. We've struggled at times to meet our budget. Now, thankfully, there are members of this church that are unbelievably gifted by God, by His Spirit, with the gift of generosity. And they have given above and beyond. So sometimes you don't even notice that the struggle is there, because there are generous people that are stepping up and giving much more to offset the deficit. But you need to know, if it were not for them, we would be in a really bad spot. And that's been a struggle the last several years. But let me tell you what else has been a struggle. We have really struggled to get people that will volunteer their time in the nursery to watch our little children. We've struggled. Now, thankfully, we've got some wonderful volunteers that have stepped up, and sometimes, quite honestly, in my opinion, have given more than their share, to the point that maybe they're not being able to enjoy the congregational life and worship the way that they need, because they're serving so much, because we don't have enough help. Now, we're super excited about what's happening downstairs with the renovation of the children's program, but you know what? For the last several years, and it will be true even now with the renovation, if we don't reclaim some things for God, we have struggled to get enough teachers for our children's program. Let's look at our youth group. In our youth group, Bert is just really working super hard to strengthen our youth group, but he's really having a hard time getting parental involvement, chaperones and parental help to host devotionals or to go on retreats to watch the kids to make sure everybody's safe and everything happens the way it needs to. Really kind of struggling with that. At the beginning of December, I will have been here for 8 years. And in 8 years, we've had, I think, 3 appointment of elders. I don't remember how many appointment of deacons that we've had. But each time, I will tell you, as I've witnessed that, we have struggled to find men that would be willing to step up and give their time to serve as leaders of this church. Elders and deacons. We struggle every time to find men that will do that. So that's hard to say. I know it is. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just trying to be realistic and say, why is that happening? And I think maybe the reason why some of that's happening is because we've reclaimed and we've said, you know what, my life is busy, I don't have any time to dedicate to doing that, to serving, to stepping up into those roles. I just don't have any time left, because we've reclaimed that. Maybe we've struggled to meet our budget because some of us are not giving like we know we should or that we have in the past, because we've reclaimed those resources as if the blessings of God are only for my own consumption. I just think that this passage in Malachi is just really kind of challenging you and me. We're all sitting here together, and Malachi is saying, now think about it, are you robbing God? Because when you rob God, then the kingdom can't thrive the way we want it to. I mean, everybody in this room wants to see this church be stellar. I mean, be the best church in town with the best things happening. Everybody in this room wants to see the gospel spread to foreign lands, to people that don't know Jesus. Everybody in this room wants to see us do a better job meeting the needs of our local community and showing the love of Jesus to Maryville, Tennessee. We all want that. But don't you know that there's no way for that to happen if we don't step up with our time, our resources, our contributions, our finances? If we don't step up to that, none of that will ever be a reality. And so we just have to ask ourselves that sobering question, in what ways am I maybe robbing God? Because, and I don't want you to misunderstand, because this sermon is not a guilt trip sermon about, hey, we need to increase our giving, or, you know, we need more volunteers for this or that. I mean, we do, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is, Malachi's message is this. If you are taking your time, your resources, your talent, you're taking all that just for yourself because you think you need it, you really are hurting yourself. You're going to experience the curse of God. And none of us want that. We want God's blessing. And God says, you want to see my blessing in unbelievable ways? You want to see this church become a delight to Maryville, Tennessee? You want to see this church and its influence become a delight to the world? You want to see the power of what I can do? I'm sitting here, God says, ready to open the windows of heaven and let the blessings pour out in every direction. And all it takes is for you to redevote the things you promised you would do for me and devote it back to me. Reprioritize, reschedule, recommit, and say, I'm not going to rob the Lord. Who am I to rob God? I'm not going to rob God anymore. I'm going to devote those things to Him. So your challenge this week and mine, I want us to really think deeply about this on a personal level. And in your small groups today, I want you to feel free to just open up and just be real and say, you know what? Man, that sermon this morning, that really kind of hit me, because that's kind of where I'm at. And I know I need something better. I want you to think personally and feel free to share in your groups where appropriate and say, what is something that I have reclaimed for myself that I need to return to God? What is that thing for you? It might be your time. It might be your financial resources. It might be your devotion to Him. Maybe you need to say, you know what? I used to teach Bible classes to kids years ago, did it for a long time. And I'm still in a place where I could now, but you know, for the last 10 years, I've just been coming to a Bible class and being fed. And I've taken it all just for me. Maybe it's time to say, you know what? It's time for me to step up and commit once more. And I'm going to commit to a quarter of teaching our children or helping in the nursery. I'm going to commit. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. You see those cards in front of you, a member card. I want you to take one of those member cards and take a pen. Okay? I really want you to do this. Take a card. Take a card. Everybody, take a card. All right, on the back side, it's blank. On the blank side of that card, I want you to take a pen and I want you to write down something. I want everybody to write down something that you have reclaimed for yourself that you want to pledge to return to God. Okay, I want you, you're writing this to yourself and you're writing this to God. This is something. Now, something may not come to mind right now, but I want you to write something down. You want to kick it up a notch? You say, you know what, I've reclaimed, I've not been real faithful in the way that I contribute of my means to the work of the kingdom. I've not been faithful in that, and I want to re-pledge to do that. You want to kick it up a notch? Write that on a piece of paper and say, I'm going to, in the next year, I pledge to make a commitment to give as I've prospered on a consistent basis. Kick it up a notch, take that card, put your name on it, and give it to an elder. Or maybe you say, you know what, I've only been coming to Bible classes and I haven't been really giving and teaching and sharing and giving back the way that I should. And you know what, I'm going to commit for a quarter this year to teach a Bible class and not just come to one. And I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to return to that. Write it down on a card, write your name, give it to the children's program people. Say, I'm going to commit to this, you can count on me. Or, let's talk about your relationship with God. Maybe you've become so busy in your life that you've crowded out daily meeting with God. You know it's a priority and of importance in your life to have quiet time with God every day, praying to Him, reading His Word, feeding your spirit, and you know you need it, and you feel the effects when you don't commit to that, and you just are starving your spirit. Maybe you need to write on that piece of paper and you say to God, I'm going to commit for the rest of this year and into 2018, I'm going to make a commitment that every day I'm going to write on my calendar that every day without fail, the least I can do is give God 15 minutes. 15 minutes of sitting in a chair and spending time in meditation and with an open Bible praying to God that He would give me speak a truth I need to hear for today into my life. And I'm going to commit, I'm going to make it such a priority that I'm not going to deviate from it no matter what, every day, 15 minutes. Not because it's like a legalistic thing that I feel like I got to do to be right with God. No, it's just something that I know I need to do to feed me, to return to God, to take those steps toward Him so He will return to me. Maybe that's what you need to do. Or maybe there's something else. But I want you to write something on that card today. You can say in your heart after this sermon, you know, I really want to experience the presence of God once more. But if you leave here today without making a decision to do something to return to Him, you're not really serious about it. And it's not going to happen on its own. Come up with an action plan for you. Commit to it. And return something to God that you've reclaimed for yourself. And if you'll do that, get ready to see blessings come from all directions as God will bless that in your life to your ultimate benefit. This morning, maybe you know you need to return to God, and the first steps you need to take is asking for the prayers of your church family to say, you know what, I've not been putting God first in my life, and I know it, and I want you to confess it and get it out there, because by confessing it, that's where I find healing and a path forward. And so I want to say that this morning, and I want to say for the accountability of my brothers and sisters, I need your help and encouragement to return to God and reprioritize and put Him first in my life again. Maybe you need that prayer this morning. Maybe you got something going on in your life that is so ravaging your spirit that you need some real personal spiritual counseling. That's what the shepherds of this flock are for. And they'd love to talk with you and pray over you in the library. Or maybe you know the first steps you need to take is just getting serious about your faith. You've been sitting in a pew, coming to church for a long time, but you never have taken the plunge of giving your life in full belief to Jesus by being submerged into Christ in baptism. Maybe today is the day that you take that step. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we all stand and as we sing.